Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron. We should give away ice cream for whoever guesses who sings this song. Have a listen, kids, because when I was young, I was into this band, something fierce. I dressed up like one of their characters every Halloween.
Ha! You need my love, baby, oh so bad. You're not the only one I've ever had. And if I say I want to set you free, don't you know you'll be in misery?
Sing it with me now.
They call me
Dr. Love.
They call me Dr. Love.
Call me Dr. Love.
I've got the cure you're thinking of.
Dr. Love. Oh, yeah. I've been waiting for a guest to come on our show just so I can play that song, you know? Dr. Terry Orbuck is the love doctor. She is in the house. She's America's most trusted relationship expert, by golly. By golly. All of a sudden, I just went to the farm.
Yes.
She's an author, speaker, therapist, professor at Oakland University, and research professor at the University of Michigan's Institute for Social Research. Wow. She brings her simple, straightforward, science-based relationship advice to real people everywhere. Dr. Orbuck has had... By the way, I hope I'm pronouncing her last name right. Dr. Orbuck has published 1,000... No, thousands. There's an apostrophe S at the end.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Thousands of articles and authored 6 books, including 5 Simple Steps to Take Your Marriage from Good to Great and Finding Love Again. Love.
Sacred Institution.
It what brings us together today. Such a great movie. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Princess Bride?
Yes, of course.
All right, just want to make sure.
As you will.
Anyway, she's kind of a big deal. I don't want to go on with her bio. She's on the show, Dr. Terry, theLoveDoctor.com. Dr. Terry, theLoveDoctor.com is on the Drew Marshall Show. Terry, I just spoke with a multi-million dollar record executive, and I'm more nervous talking to you.
Hello, Drew.
What's going on, love doc?
I am super great. You know, February is the love month, so it's my favorite month.
Yep. I'm so glad you agree with that. I've decided the last couple of years to do that instead of just having a Valentine's Day show. Who does that? I do the whole stinking month. So we've had love gurus on all month, and we're interviewing couples who've been married 50-plus years. And so we need to get stuck into it with you. I think the proof is in the pudding. Although maybe I'm being a little too judgmental with this. And what I'm getting at here is, are you in love? How's that gone for you? Are you able to practice what you preach? You have to be perfect as a lover because you're the love doctor. So you can't make any mistakes. All eyes are on you. That's a lot of pressure, Dr. Terry.
That is a lot of pressure, Drew. I know a lot of great information. I know how to make your relationship great. But my marriage of 26 years is definitely not perfect. I wish that I could do everything that I talk about. I try hard, but my marriage is not perfect. Mm. Nobody's is.
No. And anybody that says that it is lying. They're just lying.
Mm-hmm.
They're on pharmaceuticals of some kind. let's cover something like, you know, this book, 5 Simple Steps to Take Your Marriage from Good to Great. That's a great name for a book, but does it work? Because we all need your help. So what are these steps, and how are they simple?
Well, I think it's all about simple changes that you can make in your relationship to to make it better, to make it exceptional. I think there are a lot of people out there who have so-so marriages, okay relationships, and they really want to take it to the next level. And shouldn't we all be in exceptional relationships? I think so.
Preach it.
Yep. Preach it. You got it, Drew. So the first thing that is so very important is to show appreciation, compliment your partner every single day. And it's just a small phrase. You can compliment their looks, their smile, but you can also tell them that you enjoy how they interact with your kids, that they're a great athlete, that you love how they clean the dishes. Just compliment your partner every single day, because in my work, my research, those people who feel appreciated, loved, and valued, and not taken for granted are significantly more likely to be happier over time and in their relationship. So small compliments every single day.
Okay, I want to be the yeah but guy. Can I just play that role in this conversation? Because you sound like you're a glasses half full kind of woman.
And I am.
And I have the spiritual gift of pessimism. So can we just try to work this through? So compliment your partner every day, a little something every day. Now, that's a very American thing to do. Praise and rah-rah and you're awesome and you go girl and all that kind of stuff. We're a little more sarcastic and dry up here in Canada. And I know enough people that if I complimented them every day, they would, I don't know, it would rub them the wrong. They'd be like, oh, shut up already. You know what I mean? So is there such a thing as going overboard with that schmaltz?
I do think that there is such a thing as going overboard. But what you want to do is make sure, first of all, that your compliments are sincere, so you're not just saying them just to say them. And then it doesn't have to sound like a compliment, Drew. You could just merely say, thank you for doing the dishes, or thank you for being in my life. Or you could just give your partner a kiss when they come home from work.
Yeah.
What's really important is that people have a biological need to be needed, to be noticed. And we don't like to be taken for granted or not seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to be seen. So if you don't want to use your words, then show in a different way, your actions. Kiss, hug, send a text, call. And again, it depends on your partner whether or not you can do that sarcastically or not.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing. Is sarcasm a love language?
I think it is. I actually think it is. I think, though, that it's all about humor.
Yeah.
I think people are very serious these days. There's a lot going on in their lives. We're trying to support our family. We're trying to work hard. But we also need to remember that relationships are about fun and enjoying one another. So humor, laughing together is so very important, not only for us as people, physically, but it bonds us together with our partner. So whatever laughter or humor you want to use is fine, whether it's sarcasm, whether it's dry sense of humor, it doesn't matter. As long as you're not making fun of yourself or your partner, I think it's wonderful.
I don't have a great track record at complimenting. Wasn't that right, Tim?
I love you, Drew. I'm going to come and give you a kiss in just a moment.
No, I'm just saying, what I'm trying to say is it doesn't come out right very often. Like, okay, I'll give you an example. So I was helping a girl up on a horse one time, and I lifted her up, and I said, wow, you didn't weigh near as much as I thought you did.
Mm-hmm.
That's a nice compliment, right?
Not exactly. I think for many males, especially for many guys, you want to think about how the compliment is coming out and how that person is going to take your phrase or sentence or compliment. Anything about weight, anything about how they look physically, you really have to think before you talk, Drew.
Hold on. I'm writing this down.
W-E-I-G-H-T.
Okay, got it.
And sometimes what I have found working with guys for almost 30 years is that their compliments or their small things that are nice to make their partner feel noticed should be used through behaviors or actions rather than their words. So instead, just help her on the horse. Instead, just help her with the dishes. Instead, open the door. Use your behaviors or your actions rather than your words sometimes. And that might be a really good hint for you, Drew.
Okay. All right. I would like to move on now. We're on the line with Dr. Terry Orbach. By the way, am I pronouncing your last name right? Is it Orbach?
It's Orbach. Yes.
Orbach.
That
okay.
was great.
All right. Have you ever gotten Orbach?
I have.
That's just wrong. That's weird.
That's okay.
No.
As long as people know my last name, I don't care how you pronounce
it. There it is. Okay, good. So I actually came up with something the other day. So I'm staying with my daughter over the winter, and I've got a room off the side of her salon. Okay? So
yes.
She has a hair salon. So I'm in my room working. And I'm listening to hair salon conversations. I've considered drinking more lately as a result of this. And I just heard female after female after female just go on about how their man doesn't treat them right. And they don't do this, and they do this, and then he did this, and it's wrong, and da, 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 da. And so this is what I wrote down the other day. And you tell me if you think I've recovered a little bit with this one. You ready?
Yes.
We all train the ones we love to act the way they act. Then we act surprised when they act the way they've been trained. This Valentine's Day, think about the role you've played in training the one you love, and then forgive them.
Hmm.
Pretty good, huh?
I like that. I think forgiveness is so important. We all make mistakes. We all do things that we regret, so that's wonderful. And I think men and women do act differently or want different things out of their relationships, and that we have to be okay and know that men and women are going to ask different questions and look for different things in relationships.
Well, what about the training thing? Like, for example, you know, this one girl's complaining that her man doesn't pick up around the house, that she always has to do the picking up. Well, you're mm-hmm. training your man to be a slob if you're picking up after him all the time. True story?
Mm-hmm. True story, true reality, Drew. Absolutely. I think it's so much better to have a conversation with our partners about what we want out of a good relationship and then ask them what they want out of a good relationship. Most of us think that our partners want what we want and that what makes them happy is what makes us happy, or that when we give them a gift, whether it be for Valentine's Day or the holidays or their birthday, we get them what we would want rather than stepping back and getting them what they would want. So we really need to observe and listen to our partners, and we can be different in terms of picking up around the house, doing the dishes, expressing emotions, or even communicating. For example, one of the things that I have found is that women don't like conflict with their partners. Men, you guys do conflict and then you let it go. We hold on to the arguments and the conflict for at least 2 to 3 days.
No, that's
and then
me.
We that's you?
Yes, I'm very female, I guess, is what we're saying here.
Then that's okay. Then you're very female. What I'm talking about is not for all males or all females,
no,
but in general.
Yep.
But what I have found is that when women have a disagreement with their partner, they hold on to it, and then they go back up to their male partner and they say, can we talk about what we were disagreeing? He says, what were we disagreeing about? And we're even more upset.
Yeah.
So that men and women do conflict very differently, and that's okay. It's important to know that we're different.
Well, I want to ask Dr. Terry Orbach, the Love Doctor, and by the way, it's drterrytheLoveDoctor.com, great website to go to. I want to ask you this. I don't know if this is a real statistic or not, but men in a particular day use so many, 4,000 words, and women in a particular day use 7,000 words. Have you heard that kind of statistic? I don't even know what the numbers are. But the point is, women talk more than men. And by the time you get home, The man has already used all his words, and he don't want to be talking as much.
And we want to talk even more, because talking to us is rewarding. If men only realized that talk was an aphrodisiac to women, they would talk more. We love to talk. We do our relationships face-to-face. We want to see you and talk to you. Men, on the other hand, do their relationships side-to-side. In other words, they'll do an activity with you to bond and to feel closer to you. Mm-hmm. But we want you to talk. Absolutely.
Speaking of talking, my engineer here needs to say something. What do you want?
I'm just wondering, we're always talking about training. Is there anything like inherent, like biological? Are we just like Venus Mars? Is any of that play into this?
Well, I think that's a really good question. And, you know, there is a huge debate about how much is biology and how much is social. I think there is some biology, but the majority is social. That if we would reward little boys to talk more, show emotions more, play in groups more, rather than as individuals, rather than competing as an individual, that we would have boys who grow up to be men who would talk more and communicate more. But I do think some biology is present.
Okay, you've been doing this for a while, Dr. Yep. Terry Orbick, the Love Doctor, Dr. Terry, the Love Doctor.com. You've been doing this for a while. You've had some longitudinal studies. Tell us about this landmark long-term study that you've done.
Well, I've been following the same 373 couples for almost 31 years, the same couples.
Do they have a restraining order on you at all? Or?
No, they actually agree to participate
what?
In this study. Yes, because they know how important it is to study the same couples over time. Now, I will say that 46% have divorced, and I continue to follow the divorced individuals. Now, I have 746 individuals, half of whom are still married to one another, and about a half of whom are no longer married to one another. But I will say, a positive statistic for the listeners is that 71% of those people who got divorced are repartnered over time. Mm. That's a great positive thing, that you can repartner, you can find love again.
What about, do you have any statistic or numbers on those who have broken up and then gotten back together again and it's worked?
Yes, those are called on-again, off-again relationships. In my study, there are only about five couples who that occurred. They got divorced and then remarried. But there is great research out there to say and to show, especially among millennials, that people do break up and get back together, on-again, off-again relationships.
I was going to say, do you have a statistic on those that have, they broke up, they separated, they divorced, whatever thing, they got back together again, and it worked? Is that good numbers on that, or is the getting back together again, and then it failed, are those numbers higher?
Yeah, I don't know, Drew. I wish I knew the statistics. I just know that in my study, five out of the 373 divorced and then remarried and are still married today.
Okay, all right. That works for me.
What's something?
Dr. Terry, in doing what you do and reading what you read and studying what you study and all the research that you are involved in, are you more or less hopeful about love now?
Mm, that's such a good question. I am more hopeful about...
Well, you got to say that. You're the Love Doctor. I mean, that's...
Well, but also, I don't think good relationships are hard work. And I know we hear that all the time. I don't think that good relationships take hard work, but what they do take is consistent work. So that instead of doing the grandiose kinds of things where, you know, will you love me across, you know, the sky or at a basketball, NBA basketball game, or just on Valentine's Day, do you show your partner that you care? It's consistent behaviors every single day, or at least trying every single day, that really make relationships work. For example, one of the things that I found is that all relationships get into what I call ruts, where it's the same old, it's, you know, you have a habit, it's routine, you go out every Saturday night, you go to dinner and a movie. But what I found is that if you stay in that rut, you do the same thing again and again. For over a year, it turns to boredom, and boredom eats away at the happiness in your relationship. So it's so important to do just new things together. Have adventures. Go to places the two of you have never gone before. To me, that's simple. That's not hard work. That's simple thing. Newness equals passion. Newness equals excitement. And newness gets away the boredom.
Ballroom dancing. Someone recently said that... No, seriously, someone said to me recently, I guarantee you that if, you know, some couples having a problem and they take ballroom dancing lessons, no matter what their interests are or how good they are dancing, it will bring them together.
Yes. You know, I agree with you, Drew.
Thank you.
I talk about that all the time. Any kind of dance. Because think about it. As you said, it's probably something new and different you've never done together, and you're touching one another. And when we touch one another... for more than 30 seconds, a lot of the anger and the resentment and being upset dissipates. So if you can hug your partner for more than 30 seconds, you can relieve or reduce a lot of the conflict and disagreements that you have in your relationship. So ballroom dance, great. It doesn't even have to be that big, new, different thing. You don't have to do parachuting. You don't have to do bungee jumping. Although, arousal-producing activities are also something that can get you out of the rut. And it's clean, so you don't have to worry that I'm going to say anything that's not clean on air.
Right.
But what we know...
Like showering.
What? I'm sorry?
Like showering. Yeah, it's a very clean... Never mind. Okay, yes?
I get it. Arousal-producing activities. So exercising with your partner, going to a scary movie, going on a roller coaster, going to a comedy club and really laughing together. If you do those activities with your partner, the arousal that's produced through those other activities, like dance, like exercise, can get transferred to your partner in your relationship and can actually ignite the passion, get you out of the rut, and make your relationship exciting again.
What about yoga?
Yeah, I think yoga too, as long as you have the arousal that's occurring in your body. If it's relaxing you, then actually that is a stress reducer, which is also really wonderful, but it's not reigniting the passion and the excitement.
What about a buffet?
A buffet?
Yeah.
A yoga buffet.
No, not a yoga buffet.
Forget the rut. I need to know how to get out of the doghouse. That's what I need
to
know.
Yes, Tim's issue is not the rut. It's the doghouse. That's for sure.
Well, you don't want to hold on to your grudges.
No.
First, that's the thing. Just let it go.
Nothing is that important. Dr. Terry, we are interviewing couples who've been married for 50 years. Have you done any research that would help us understand how the heck they did that?
Yes, I think my current research, following these couples for now 31 years, is almost there. And those couples are saying the same kinds of things that I think couples in their 50, you know, after being together 50 years would also say: compromise. I'm sure you're hearing that that is very important, that nothing is that important. You know, compromise gets a bad rap because we think we have to give up everything that we like and want as an individual in order to compromise, but compromise can be good. You can do it one person's way for a few weeks and then another person's way. You can come in the middle. You can go outside the box, color outside the lines. So compromise, I think, is what... couples who have been together almost 50 years talk about. Laughter and having fun, as we talked about. Also, sharing all big decisions. What I found is that some partners, when they make a big decision, it can be a life decision or it can be a big money purchase, do it alone, and they forget or don't consult their partner. And if you don't share in all big decisions, then partners get upset. then relationships are full of tension, because we all want to feel like we're part of a team, right? That we're in this together. But if your partner is doing things and not consulting you, then you're not part of the team. We're not in this together.
Man, you are so good. Yeah, I've got a friend who was one of the hosts on the Today Show. You should do the Today Show.
I would love to. If you can make it happen, Drew, I'm there.
No, I thought, weren't you already on the Today Show?
Yes, I have been.
That's kind of where
I
was getting.
The Today Show, NBC shows, CBS shows, many television
Katie
shows.
Katie Couric Show, ESPN, Katie CNN. Wow.
Yes, athletes. They want to know why their relationships are not working out.
Well, really, I got a few answers there for them, but that's another show. That's a whole other show. Listen, you are just a joy to have on. Just a joy. I can't believe I said that. You actually are. Dr. Terry Orbach, the Love Doctor. Again, the website is drterrytheLoveDoctor.com. I would suggest follow her. Go buy her books, read her stuff, watch her videos, TEDx, the whole thing. This girl's a great communicator. What a pleasure to have you on our Love Month. Thanks for being our love guru, Dr. Terry.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure as well.
All right. You take care.
Thank you.
Bye. Dr. Terry Orbach.
So you're
you learn anything?
You're doing better. Like, you gave her a compliment and didn't even mention her weight. I definitely learned something.
Should I tell my interns about the all-time worst compliment I've ever given anybody?
Yes. I'm gonna stop the music.
I think we need the music to be in the background on this, baby.
Okay.
That's right, baby. Well, I went out on a pity date with my boss's daughter, and I was living in California at the time.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. And we were walking along the beach, pretty good pace. Because, you know, she was big boned, let's just say.
And you got long legs.
And we were walking along, and it was pretty good. I thought maybe some exercise might be good.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Shared exercise. We talked about that.
But the problem is, it's the boss's daughter. And my roommate said, you can't screw this up. And every time there's a lull in the conversation, you inevitably fill it with some dumbness. Stop it. Well, what do? I said to my roommate. And my roommate said, pay her a compliment. When there's a lull, pay her a compliment. When there's a lull, pay her a compliment. Don't say dumb stuff. Okay, got it. Walking along the beach. Good pace. Conversational lull. I remembered. Don't say something dumb. Pay her a compliment. So I looked over at her and I said, baby, you know, for a big girl, you don't sweat much. Oh, yeah.
Oh!
People wonder why I struggle with love.